Welcome, everyone, to our new time slot, Wednesday. We are here coming at you hard and heavy on a Wednesday. It's a wet and wild Wednesday on the Grass Factor. The season is starting to kick off. I think most lawn care companies have either begun applications, unless you're probably in further places up north or just starting to gear up. As if you're like in upstate New York or something like that, you're probably 27 days away or so. So it's getting there. Everybody's in the swing. Everybody's thinking about it. Everybody's thinking, what am I going to do? What am I doing? What do I want to go out with? Am I sure of what I'm doing? This always never fail. My first application of the year, first lawns of the year. I would think to myself, this is going to be the year I'm going to kill everything. J-Pink, everybody's saying we're not on YouTube, but I kind of
yeah, just don't know. They were right. I didn't reuse settings, and so there was another button I needed to click to go live. So we were
we can
live
do it again.
Three, two, one, go.
Okay. Now we're live on YouTube. This is a Wet and Wild Wednesday. This is our new time slot. I'm kind of going back over what I did. And everyone is kicking off the season. You know, and says everybody's there. And I was just giving a little anecdote that regardless of how many years I spent doing this, the first lawns I did of the year, I would always think to myself, this is going to be the year that I miscalculated my math and my spray tank is not mathed correctly. And every lawn I'm going to spray today is going to die. Does anybody else ever go through that? Because I don't know why. Always my first lawns coming out of winter. I was convinced. This is the year. They're all going to die. It's a strange thing. Ray, has that ever happened to you?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a...
I feel less crazy.
It's a kind of a nervous time for me when I haven't had the sprayer in my hand in a while. That's always a nervous time for me because I always think, oh dear, in the words of our favorite attorney, I'm thinking to myself... Don't F this up.
it's true. It's a thing. I don't know what it is, but man, always getting started on the year. I'm just convinced. I'm showing up to people and I feel like I'm approaching them as if I'm at a funeral. You know, I should be like excited. I'm there to treat their season's kicking off. And I'm like, I'm here to treat your lawn and I hope it doesn't die. Not instilling a lot of confidence in my customers, right? So sometimes you have to keep that stuff to yourself and not share it. Ray and I are going to kick this off. Ryan had a 400-mile drive, so he's going to be here in about 2 hours. I think he's averaging something like 200 miles an hour right now. So not too much longer. He should be here. I will say that between J-Pink and DeMay, well, we have Mario Andretti and Jeff Gordon among us. I am the guy that has totaled nine cars.
Wow.
And so I am not certified to drive above the speed limit. I lost that certification years ago. I managed to pop all four tires in a parking lot one time, Ray.
Wow. How'd you do that, man?
The only thing I'm going to say is I was in college. That's it. It's all I'm going to give you. Everyone else can fill in the gaps, but I managed to
totally
pop all
understood.
Four tires and I was in college.
Understood. Because, at UT, people party.
Yes. Southeastern Conference schools are known for extracurricular activities, right? And I most certainly participated probably well beyond what I should have in said extracurricular activities. We're going to do a Q&A with the community. So if you have questions, feel free to throw them into the chat. I want to know. What are you thinking to kick off your season, especially lawn care owners? I'm curious, when are you getting started? What are you getting started with? Do you have any questions about getting started? What changes did you make internally over the winter. Are you still working on any last minute internal changes? And I want to make a couple caveats here. Is that number one, we are human, we are fallible, we make mistakes. So any kind of recommendations we make, fact check us, please. We do this live, and so from time to time, we'll be thinking something in our head, reading something else, and then say a completely non-related third thing, thinking we're making a point. Please also understand, age is not on our side anymore. No. Especially, I'm gonna take a dig at Ray, especially on Ray's side currently, since he's the oldest and I'm the youngest. That's another dig at J-Pink there. I am the young buck, but I am not that young. I'm still 37 years old. So, you know, it's time is passing at an accelerated rate. I'd like to lie and say, bye. Yeah,
you're going to be 40 pretty soon. So enjoy your 30s while you can, because I knew that by the time I hit 40, I knew, oh, heck, it's all over.
You know, this is the thing, and I really went through this with my last birthday. I would say 36 was the first birthday where I was just like, ugh. I had a few, like my 30th birthday, I was like, whoa, God, I got to start making some changes. 36 was the first one. I was like, this is gross. My 37th birthday, I hated it. Like, mm-hmm. There was nothing I looked forward to. It was, you know, great to come home, see the family, then make a big deal or whatever. But the whole time I was like, please God, can we just act like it's not my birthday? I don't want to do this right now. I really don't want to do this.
Then Matt, you know, when you get over 50, then you're like me. Every morning you open your eyes and you say, thank you, Lord, for not taking me yet. Serious. Okay. Serious. I'm not kidding about that. I say that every morning.
You know, I'll be honest, Ray, that has been part of my mantra since about 23 years old. There was a, I've told the story before, it was $1,000 bed. I wasn't going to live very long. And I did live long enough to do that. And, so I'm very thankful that I am here and able to share whatever bullshit I spew out of my mouth from time to time. We'll go ahead and get to these questions. So last thing too, I want to say is that if you ask questions and they start rolling in, it may take us a second to get to it because again, we are doing this live. We may spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes answering a question. So be patient. If we do skip your question, feel free to ask it again. I promise we won't get mad at you for it. Number one here is from Brett. Brett said, living in the Midwest, my first year with a sprinkler system inherited from a previous owner. What should I be concerned about turning it on for the first time this year? I would do this. I would go into it with really, really low expectations of it working. And so that way you have nothing to worry about being let down about. As far as, you know, standard startup procedure, I don't know if you've ever turned it on before, but, you know, just go zone by zone, pressurize the system. And I would just expect that you're going to have a couple valves get stuck. You may have to clean those out. They're pretty easy to clean. If you get any kind of minute amount of debris, especially in older valves, they'll stick open but they are easy to clean. I would expect that there's going to be some cracked nozzles just from where they either froze or they got kicked while they were frozen or whatever else. So expect to replace a couple nozzles. So when you power it on, do a little inventory of what works and what doesn't. Go to your parts store and just expect budget. I'll put a very aggressive budget on here. I say expect a budget $100 in repairs. And that way, if it comes in and it's only $17, you're like, man, came out $83 a head. I'm gonna take my wife on a date. Yeah,
you win. It's like, yeah, take the lady out for dinner and have a good night. I mean, for sure,
take a baby and high five each other.
That's what I was thinking.
Brain are the same wavelength. It's an Android. I don't know. B Butcher, by the way, J Pink, while I got you here, I've been wanting to do this. March is probably not a good month, but it is insane. I the older I get, the more like the nutty my scheduling becomes. Like I have to put everything in a calendar now because I'm an old person. March is probably not a good month, but maybe April. I would love, with the number of people we have in Knoxville now, I would love to do a get together for everybody in Knoxville. So if you don't mind, just keep that somewhere in the back of your head, and I'm going to do the same thing.
Sure.
And because I want to meet Butcher, and I've met a couple of the other guys too. And maybe we can get Gillespie down, and I don't know. We have a good time. Just meet, hang out, whatever, eat all the fun stuff.
Yeah. We should do it up.
Do what?
We should do it.
Yes. Do it 100%.
Yeah.
We should.
Yeah. We should. We'll figure it out.
Butcher in Knoxville, Poem, Part of the Yard, in Turf Type Tall Fescue. My first recommendation would be Ethyphumosate. Probably a little. I think we're going to get cool again here for a little bit. Let me look at the weather. We were warm. We were in the 70s last week, and it would have been perfect.
But you know what? Ethyphumosate in cooler weather is not a problem, because what ethyphumosate does is ethyphumosate literally waits and it hits the poa when the poa attempts to start to grow again. And if you're feeling froggy, right now is about when I would do either sulfentrazone or mesotrione. Mm-hmm. With the ethyphumosate, because ethyphumosate is a slow-acting, soil-active herbicide, whereas the sulfentrazone or the mesotrione would add some foliar action to kick off the process. Because I believe we have somebody in the Missouri area where he did a program where he ran the poa out of his turf type tall fescue lawn. I mean, he sent that thing running. I think that was, what's his name? Brandon, Turf Culture. He did a program on that poa, and he just, you know, evicted it.
Yeah. So I would definitely do the ethyphumosate. And if you're doing it this early, I would probably start with mesotrione. And then as you move into next month, especially if you have to do a repeat application, that is when I would throw it in. Because here's what you can do, B Butcher, is that if you have look at that, 400 miles in 2 hours and 20 minutes, DeMay has set the record on interstate driving. That is impressive.
4 miles round trip today. In 2 hours.
Oh, 400 miles. 400 miles round trip, but then, I was just going to say, the only way to get you home faster is if Wallace was driving.
Wallace, if you know, you know. Have some points on his license. I just want everybody to know that.
What's amazing is DeMay did that in a 1983 Toyota Corolla. That's what's even more impressive.
It's the carbureted model. It still has an ashtray and a cigarette lighter in it, like an American vehicle should.
Yeah. So fun fact, that was our first family vehicle, was a 1983 Toyota Corolla. If you could imagine the five Martins rolling around in that tiny thing, for punishment, dad would put it in neutral and we'd have to push it around the neighborhood. So, you know, we were strong.
Mush.
Yeah. Kind of like that.
Is that what that is? That's the Mississippi Iditarod, right? That's how they run that.
Yeah.
83 Corolla? Yeah. From the back.
I think part of that was the fact that my dad got married and then had to get rid of his CJ5 and alt for a Toyota Corolla. I think his income didn't look the same with a family of five versus just a solo guy. So, you know, I would probably
be. Style a bit. Gee, man.
I know. I had to give up my Bronco. I know what that's like. Still, man, I did that. But that's how I bought my wedding ring. So I had to do it. Anyway, I digress.
What is the quintessential lawn care guy vehicle? And I need a passenger car and also a truck.
Ford Focus.
Quintessential. Ford Focus. The hatchback Ford Focus. Or the sedan?
Hatchback.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gotta go Ford Focus on the car.
But on the truck, though,
God almighty. Man,
02
so,
Ford Ranger.
I feel like a non Z71 Chevy 1500.
Okay. Just your base, the one step above the work truck. Right?
Yeah, single cab, long wheelbase, just looks fucking awful. I mean, nothing aesthetic about it at all. But I'll say that
selling
if I,
on Facebook right now, you want
if
it.
I had to pick, if I had to pick, I would really like an F-250 King Ranch four door with short wheelbase. it's if I feel like spending $80,000 on a vehicle, which I don't.
Try that.
I am not successful because I live in a $160,000 house, and
you are
a
fucking
half,
pussy.
That's right. That's right. And I drive a Honda Accord with 309,000 miles on it.
What do you think Spencer drives? I'm going to say like an OG Prius. Or like
No. He has a two-door
He's
Tahoe.
Overcompensating.
A 96 two-door Tahoe on 35s with a 4-inch lift kit. And I mean, just with two Alpine 10-inch subs in the back that he got off eBay, and a hardly working amp. It is the whitest white guy, just frat boy bullshit you have ever seen. And you know the tires are bald as hell too. Like originally he started with some BF Goodrich mud terrains. He didn't go all terrains because you never know
slicks.
When you might have to bog it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's only got the mud terrains.
But they're all slicks. They're all now slicks because he's run that thing past. And you know what the amazing thing is? With them bald tires, he ain't pulled over by the sheriff.
Busy asked about Simazine on Tall Fescue. Absolutely not. If you were in nowhere, would I ever recommend that? But okay, and I'll give you. When I was in Memphis, right, and I don't know what it is. I think because True Green is headquarters in Memphis. And so if there have been monumental, just at a scale, it's hard to wrap your mind around mistakes with herbicides, it's been in Memphis. That is the only place I've ever seen where Simazine induced a positive response in Tall Fescue. It was really strange. You could spray Simazine on top of Tall Fescue growing under trees all day long. And it did really well. Everywhere else I've lived, even when I got outside of Memphis, like into the county, and there'd be a little bit under a tree or whatever, and I'd be like, I've heard it in town, surely not going to hurt it here. And then they just absolutely chewed the holy hell out of it. Do not put Simazine on Tall Fescue. Do not do that ever. Not once.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, do not.
Chris said, are we over the robot mower trend?
No,
or will it
all.
Make another surge this year? It is going to accelerate times 10 this year is my thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree that there's you got a whole subset of people that are going to be direct buyers that are going to say, you know, screw it, I don't want to mow anymore, right? That are looking to automate their life in other ways, right? On the pro side, definitely seeing more large shingle contractors, like, you know, in the pro world, the LMN 150 is like the Fortune 500 of landscape companies, and you're seeing a great many of them adopt that type of technology, whether it's the autonomous, you know, zero turns that are programmed to mow like that, or the more traditional quote unquote robotic mowers, right, that are kind of like the little Husqvarna units or whatever. We'll have them out on some properties, a couple different brands, trying some stuff out this year. So I will see, Chris, if I can break it for you. That's my promise to you, is I will try to break it.
I think Green Z is going to be more of a presence too with their software bolt on to commercial mowers. I know they have managed to hang around. I checked on them the other day just because I haven't seen them in the news a whole lot. And they seem to be doing well. They're not cash strapped by any means. So yeah, I think we'll see some of this begin to show up. You may not just see it in the news, but it doesn't mean it isn't happening, right? And a lot of times when the sales are actually happening and implementation is occurring, you're not seeing a lot of that because these are privately owned businesses, right? It's when they start doing so well that acquisitions start taking place, you'll see it in the news again. But by then, there are shit tons of units out there, right? And so there's going to be a gap where we don't hear about it, where implementation is really taking place. I wholeheartedly believe implementation this year is going to be at least 4x of what we saw last year, if not more. Of course, it's going to be distributed across many different brands, but I definitely think 4x the number of robot mowers out this year than last year. Lawn Flip said, Matt, what would you do differently, if any, if you had to go back to your applicators day? It could be anything, pricing, program, et cetera. A couple of things. When I was in commercial lawn care, I would have listened to the old timers earlier. I'll say this, you know, at True Green, I never did pick up on it. And I think it was because in 2009, especially when the financial crisis happened, it was such a dog eat dog time because so many people from non-grass backgrounds were getting a job at True Green because it was one of the few places that was hiring, that it was almost like you kept what you were doing to yourself, right? And the buddies you did make, you know, they were real tight with you. And so, you know, but you only talked to just a few people because it was stressful as hell. But when I worked at Fairway Lawns, it took me a little bit, and this probably was just because I was coming off the cuff of, I had done True Green, and then I went to work at a landscape company, and we were going to start a spray division there. And that guy never did have the money in. Had a horrible cocaine problem, and it was really weird. It was really weird, and I was really just buying time until I could get out of there. And then that was when I got the job at Fairway Lawns, and I was again coming out of a place that had been committing just blatant fraud, and the weirdness that came with working at a company like that. I was nervous, and I didn't really trust people, and I kept to myself, and they would try to help me, and I just wouldn't take the advice. And then finally I did start talking to the older people, and I took their advice, and they actually helped me grow a lot as a person. So I wish I would have listened earlier. Then when I was in business for myself, it would have been hiring someone so much earlier, so much earlier. I could have grown my business so much faster if I just would have hired someone quicker. And what I wish I would have done is hired someone to answer the phones. And the only thing they had to do was answer the phone with a smile on their face. That's it. Those are the two things I wish I would have done. Or not necessarily that I wish I would have done. But if I did it all again, those are the two things I would do differently. What about y'all?
let me see if I, because one of my answers would have been something you said already as far as hiring people sooner, learning to let go. I read this thing last week, real quick. It was like a tweet or something like that, and it was essentially the idea was that if you're going to hire somebody, that, you know, expect that their ceiling of what they can do versus you as the owner is, you know, 80%, right? Just expect that and you'll be a lot more level-headed. And I thought, you know, it's not necessarily like you're, you don't believe in somebody or whatever that they can do it, but nobody's going to care about your business more than you. And I think that just understanding that while also hiring employees, it seems kind of counterintuitive and fucked up, but it is really true. Like, people can be all in and everything like that, but you know, when you're personal balls are on the deli slicer, it is a whole different meaning. Ray, you go, and I've got one more I want to formulate in my mind.
Okay, the only thing that I think I would do different for my situation is I would definitely decline to take hospice cases. Because from truly...
Old Yeller Lawns by Ray.
Yeah. From 2007 till, I want to say about 2022, I did take hospice cases. And then in 2022, I don't know what changed in me, but that is when I said, oh, hell with this. No more. Tell it like it is, because Ray, you've been doing this since 2007. It works until it doesn't work, and then I run up against people's short fucking memories where they don't remember how bad they have it, and then now they're ungrateful and demanding, and the outcome is the same. So, best thing for everybody's sake is don't go there in the first place. Don't. I mean, that's just something that I think I impress on all of the newer guys that ask me about their business operations. I tell them, you know what? Do not take hospice cases. I mean, that's my only advice that I can give guys. And I think, Lawn Flip, I gave you that advice too. Don't take hospice cases.
I'll take that. I'll take Ray's, you know, in a similar vein and a step further and say that, you know, recognizing, I wish if I were to do something different is recognize who our ideal client is sooner, better, faster. And yeah, you make mistakes qualifying people, whatever. But, you know, the people that you're trying to sell in your program and that you're, you know, that you really want to win because it's cool property or a cool project in mm-hmm. our case or whatever.
Check your ego. And they're check just, your ego, right?
They're just not hearing it. Yeah. Like, fucking mm-hmm. move on. It's a notch below, you know, continuing to pester and ask out the lady that told you, no, I don't want to go on a date with you. It's creepy.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm. The good side, the glass half full side, is that there are plenty of people that will pick up what you're putting down. You know, so find those people, zero in on them, talk to them, do business with them, and just forget about the rest. There's there for other people to help out. So,
okay, I gotta add to that. Yeah, I gotta add to that because I remember when I first started, I would get kind of, you know, disconcerted and a bit nervous when I would talk to somebody about their lawn and then they tell me, oh, I'll think about it. And my answer to them back then was, oh, sure, no problem. You know, give me a call. But these days, do you know what my answer is to somebody that told me I'll think about it? You know what my answer actually is?
I'm not going to think about it and lose my number.
Actually, I changed my mind. Sorry.
Yeah, it's like... No, I tell them, this is a very simple decision, and here's where we're at. You doubt me, now I doubt you. Have a good day. Bye.
That yeah, I'll say this too, Lawn Flip, is that, you know, the faster that you can stop getting emotionally invested in each and every customer, the easier it'll be. When you tie so much emotion into, like when you take a cancel and it bothers you for a month, that's a problem. And I get it. And I trust me, I have been there. I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm the pot calling the kettle black. I am so full of shit to tell you you shouldn't do this because I am the worst at it, the absolute worst at it. But the reality is, what I can say now is that it's really easy for me to not get emotionally invested in the people of of a business, right? I get emotionally invested in the value of the contract, right? Like, because that's how I forecast my business. But the people behind it, I view it more as a partnership than I do as like, you know, these are the people that I'm going to call and go to dinner with on a Sunday, right? Like, I treated all my customers like that when I was in lawn care. That, I mean, it was crazy. Christmas time rolled around. I'm getting bottles of wine and all kinds of shit. And you know, I know their kids' names. And I mean, so, you know, some of them you watch go off to college and everything else. And it's weird. You know, you kind of have that emotional connection with them. But, you know, now that I don't have that kind of emotional connection, even though I may gradually learn these things about people over the year, again, if I come in town, we may go to lunch or whatever, but I'm not going to schedule a family vacation, you know, to go see my customer Y in, you know, nowhere, you know, fucking Illinois, you know, because, man, it just, it's been awesome being a client of yours, right? So trying to figure out how to disconnect emotionally, how to do it, I don't know. It just, I think that just comes with getting older. But I don't know. It's just something to think about.
Go ahead.
I was going to move on. You go ahead.
The last thing I'll say on that, I liked what you said there about, you know, disconnecting emotionally, how to do it. I think the one thing that you can do to help is not be so afraid that if you lose a customer, that your entire business is going to crumble and fall off the face of the earth, right? That's natural. Churn happens. People leave. People come all the time, right? So don't have a scarcity mindset. Have, you know, it's a mindset of abundance, right? There's plenty of people out there. All I need to do is go find them. Somebody tells me no, there's probably two people out there waiting to say yes if I just go find them where they find me. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I look at opportunity. You know, I look at the opportunity because you know how people would get bummed that they lose a client? You know, for me, a lot of times the people that I part ways with, you know, when I finally analyze it, I come to see, oh dear, these are the people that took up all my time and energy. They were never happy, never grateful. And now I have more time and energy to devote to people that would appreciate what I'm trying to do for them. Rather than,
and that's why Tiffany left the Discord, because of Aldo.
Mm-hmm.
Well said, right?
That's right.
All right, let's keep going here.
Busy Bee says POA control with FUMACE is not allowed in South Carolina. Good question. Tall fescue, you don't have just a ton of options. What are you going to say?
Velocity's coming back out.
Okay, really? I have another one. No, yeah, I have another one.
Exonerate. I did not know that.
No.
Yeah. Exonerate. Well, I've used Exonerate before on POA and tall fescue to lackluster results. I'll say that. As part of a tank mix, you'll get a little beefier. And I say a tank mix, like, you got to get real weird, like Exonerate, Sulfendrazone, and Mesotrione, and it's going to look pretty gnarly, but are you going to get a good kill out of it? Probably not. I have never had it work super effective.
Yes and no, because the deal is that with the Exonerate, too, it's all about the application on that product. It's all about the application, and I've heard of Exonerate working, Matt, but that is always combined with Mesotrione or Pilex, one of the two. Always that. I mean, it's going to be like a kind of a spendy tank mix, but if you need your POA gone, that's where you're at. That's kind of where you're at. And other one that I would tell you is that in cases of POA, it is literally possible to burn out POA with multiple apps of sulfendrazone. But make note of that. It's more than one app. You have to keep at it.
I've never been able to do that at rates tolerable to tall fescue. If you catch it like in late May when it's about to go dormant, you can, you know, it's one of those that you can watch it burn out. But I've gone as high as 6 ounces repeatedly on it. And again, I could chew it up really aggressively, but I haven't been able to get a solid kill on it. I hate Poa, as a matter of fact. Let's just get that out there. I hate it.
Second only to Centipede.
Look, it is coming back. Is it still Bisprax sodium, or are they changing the?
It's reformulated, and this time, these guys have decided to make it in a slightly easier to use liquid formulation, because I remember the Velocity SG as this granule that costed like what, $1,000 per package or something like that, and the amount of the product that you were supposed to use per acre was minuscule. If at that, and also for the longest time, Velocity SG was for golf courses only as well. That not too. For residential lots. Yeah. I mean, because this Velocity PM, this is allowed even on residential and commercial landscape turf. I mean, they expanded the label. Now, my question is, when do we start seeing people fry and nuke turf with this Velocity PM?
You know, I don't know. One of the issues with Velocity
was that it was rather marginal, as in marginally safe.
Yeah, in the timing of it is what was difficult, right? You had to time it very, accurately. And if you didn't, that's the two things you ran into, right? Is, Lord have mercy. Of course, Spencer calls. Still watching. Don't worry, Spencer. Still not in a $500,000 house. You win, buddy. You take the cake. You are God's gift to earth. I am not. Nobody. the timing of it was always difficult too, right? So multiple applications, timing of it was difficult. And I was playing around with it specifically for Poa Triv, right? Poa Annua and Ethafumisate felt like I had pretty good grip on it there. But with Poa Triv, there's a 0.0 options there in terms of an actual kill product. And and trying to time that out just was absolutely a disaster. So anyway, of course he's hammer calling me now. I'm going to have to. I wonder if he's going to do more racist talk when you answer. Hello? Hello? Yeah, he couldn't make it. He got scared.
Typical.
I wish I had my shirt handy. I'd put it on the Spencer
bottle. Oh, do we have? Can we show that real quick and show how we raised all the money? Not all the money. I mean, Ron and Travis helped too.
Yeah, Ron and Travis helped, but still, I mean, Spencer, you were part of our effort in raising. How much money did we raise for St. Jude?
$20,000.
$20,000 this last go around.
$20,000. I mean, how about them apples, Spencer?
You
got to get up on the right side of the bed and sell a lot of little bottles of MSMA on the internet to get $20,000. Yeah. I do know that.
Yeah.
That was actually a word problem on the ACT when I took it junior year.
It was.
There he is, the MSMA bomber, ladies and gentlemen.
Nailed it.
That's the composite sketch the police were able to develop. So,
yep.
God willing, he'll be caught someday. And, it is what it is.
One last thing we have to worry about. Connecticut Cubanican. Cubanican, I like that name, said, if people steal Amazon packages from front steps, why wouldn't they steal a robotic mower?
They're GPS.
In terms of there are super GPS'd, right? So you're going to be able to track everywhere it goes to. I think they also have a kill switch that if it's not within the area, it's calling back again.
If it is not in the yard.
He's just hanging out.
It is assigned to the mower, the robot mower, essentially goes dead. Right? It just goes dead. So it's a very expensive and heavy paperweight if it gets moved from the lawn that's assigned to. I know that much.
Yeah, and and you have to physically at the mower, at least in the Husqvarna models, you have to put in a pin code, 4 or 5 digit pin code into the mower and bring it back inside the geofence. So yeah, so like it's not just like somebody can like hack your password and all that kind of stuff. Like there are theft deterrent measures built into it. So you know, the best part is when you roll up. There was a situation here in Columbus. I was told by a dealer here they tracked it to a house the next morning after it was stolen at night. And you know, of course, you know, just like the show Cops, you know, that used to be on Fox. You know, it's right out in front of this guy's
great
porch.
Show.
That's not mine. I don't know whose that is. If there was a nickel for every time somebody on Cops said, "Oh, that's not mine," I mean, God damn, you'd be filthy, stinking rich. Those aren't my
put that there. I don't know who put that there.
No, I'd say
Mark Furman.
not yours. Oh, really?
Spencer, wonderful, put that there. Sir. I know he did.
Because
can you squat and cough for
now,
me?
Now, pal, you're up for felony theft. Okay, now you're up for felony theft. Congratulations, because I know in most states, over $1,000, you're now on felony theft.
Congratulations. I'll tell you what. You know, there was a time on this show that we would get together and watch movies with Matt and everything like that. We haven't done it in a while. Maybe we'll see if we can set this up for some time. In the near future, we will try and find what some of the best episodes of Cops are, maybe like 3 or 4 of them, and watch those together, because that would be some fantastic viewing.
I would get behind
one of them has to be one of the ones where they pinch the Johns buying the hookers, because those ones are always great.
Yes.
It's extra special. A couple of drug ones, and then we'll find some good ones here. We'll see if we can
some good tases too. If we can get one of the later ones where we get a good just absolute tase drop. Oh,
like watching a Sequoia drop on the Foyas. Just
it doesn't get any better. Evie asks, is the Toro homeowner robot coming out this year too? That I don't know. I do not keep up with Toro.
They are right now, as I understand it, they are working on distribution channels for that, and trying to figure out. It is a little bit different in the way that it works. It is not a GPS unit. It senses basically all the objects and kind of builds a map of itself, sort of like what a Roomba does, but it can do it and go in patterns. So I can't remember all the particulars because it's been 2 years since I saw it at GIE and got some of the information on everything like that, but you know, they'll be in the market, and you better believe that they're going to push the absolute shit out of it because of the money that they've got into. I mean, they effectively, I think, look broadly, loosely here. Okay, looked at the market. You know, and one of Toro's things over the years has been to acquire technology and then rebrand it as Toro. In this case, they didn't do that. They actually invented most of or put together most of what you see here on their own. So pretty serious effort from them, right? Not just acquiring something and just slapping a Toro sticker on it and calling it good. I think they've tried to get this right, so it will be interesting. And you know, Evie, you're right there by the mothership. Go knock on the door and ask them, you know.
There you go, there it is. Telly said even family even family won't care about your business more than you. That's for sure.
True.
Yeah, I mean, there.
It hurts to hear it, but it's true.
Yeah. Do not. I mean, you can incentivize it a thousand different ways. Do whatever you got to do, but you know, you have to catch people, and I think you know there's an art to that, and you know, some people are exceptionally good at it, and other people aren't, and of course, you know, company culture plays into it as well too. And you still have to be good at weeding people out. But I mean, the reality is that you gotta find people in the right state of mind to fit with what you're doing, right? Like if I were to go into work at Fairway Lawns direct out of college, it would not have worked out the way it did versus when I actually did go to work there, right? So anyway, you know, by that time, you know, I was getting married and got married and my mindset had just completely shifted. And I would do anything at that point, like absolutely any. There was no limits to what I would do. So, you know, it worked out. So I don't know. It's tough. It's an art, and we could probably spend 4.5 hours talking about it. F sure. said, "What up, losers? Hey, how are you, F?" And he also said, "Is Poetry available yet?" Ugh, God,
not gonna be. Nice. Be. Only golf. Never be anywhere. Never else be.
No, it'll never be because does everybody know the story on Poetry?
Yeah. Well, at least it was self-developed, self-funded by a guy in Korea, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it was a company in Korea, a small chemical, small pharmaceutical company in South Korea, and as such, they will never have the means to sell or distribute this outside of a very limited market, specifically golf courses only, because in order for a product to be registered for application outside of a golf course, the amount of testing that will have to be done is incredible. And I don't think this Korean company has the money to come up with that. And I don't think they're interested in dealing with that either, because on a golf course, I think you can be a little more assured that if you release a product to a golf course, that it will probably be used according to label instructions. Because this, you know, product represents a large liability for the manufacturer of it. You know, it's a huge liability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your take on?
Do I?
No, you're good.
Todd's Real Lawn said, "I hate Poet too. Guys, I'm in Buffalo, New York. Soil temps are about 46 degrees. I'm using prodiamine, so I know it's better to be early than late. However, is it too early to put it out on my lawn, on my lawns?" At 46? No.
No.
I don't think so. Yeah. You're Buffalo, upstate New York. You don't have to apply attached to fertilizer. I think this is a good conversation we had with John last week about that. At UD mm-hmm. Turf Guy on Twitter, was talking about if you may be too early to fertilize. However, there's nothing wrong with going out with and spraying your first application of prodiamine.
There you go. I'll share this real quick. And where's actually, I just sent the link over here to JPink. Copy. Good plug here for the folks at home. Where is...
Look at that trend line. You see that trend line? That trend line right there is my cue to start.
Get her going. Hey, J Pink, will you throw that link up real quick and zoom into the map? So this is a site. We've talked about it on here, but it's been a while, and it's always a timely thing to do. This is https://GDD. Like goddamn damn, just like Busy would say, tracker, gddtracker.msu.edu. And what this is doing here, ladies and gentlemen, is tracking phenological data, okay, where we can check growing degree days and understand when certain things are going to happen within the landscape. So this could be anything from maple buds breaking on trees to, in this particular case, crabgrass pre-emergence timing. What they've done is they've averaged this over a number of years to say that we know the early window, you know, is 171 to 250 growing degree days at a base 0 Celsius or 32 centigrade here. And just like we track this for PGRs, if you're familiar with that, do the same thing in the early part of the season to apply pre-emergence. So if I was a lawn care applicator, you see here pretty much all of Ohio, except for very southern Ohio, is in the early window. And Buffalo is probably going to be there by next week based on the trend line that we saw on Greencast, and also just looking at weather and temps and things like that, it's going to be creeping up over there. So, you know, wouldn't be a bad thing to get out in front of. A couple days isn't going to make, you know, make or break the bank. If you're further north, just, you know, either be a little bit more patient. Northeast has been a little cold, and your time will come. But good site to use and check out to kind of time up your apps. So
there it is. Greek Geek. F, by the way, that's Rancation. By the way, congratulations again, Big Daddy. My man. So the way things are going in the U.S., robotic mowers will need a self-defense option. I'm sure of all people, you could engineer one. I would. Mm-hmm. I know you could do that, Fran. And if you did, I'll be your pitch guy.
I would love
I'll pitch
to
it. I'll pitch it.
I would
whoever.
Love to see that. I would love to see that. And by the way, Francation, I got some ideas.
I just think. I think you need to put. We need to invent the daddy issues fleshlight and put that on there, because, you know, we'll see the mower, we'll fuck the mower, and then there's no chance that they're going to take the mower home or want to sleep over with the mower because it's got daddy issues, and then the thing just stays there and keeps mowing. So I think if we can hook that up, if there's some way to do that, I think we got a winner here, guys. Daddy issues fleshlight. Let's hook it up.
I had a piercing joke there. I can't. Greek Geek said, hey, Nick,
that's
how are
King
you,
King Albert to you, miss.
I know. It's a different vein, but equally true. Maybe the guy did not steal the mower. When I was young, I would steal stuff like statues and put them in people's yards. I think you used to think it was hilarious, especially if it made it on local news. Why does that not shock me that you used to do that? And you grew up to be a hoarder. I mean, it only makes sense, Nick. It fits perfectly. Connecticut Cubanican said, I'm a probation officer and track people with a device on their ankle, but had no idea the robotics had a GPS.
Oh, yeah. Your mower too can be on parole.
As J Pink said, there's our cops episode. We could have him on the show. He could, I'm sure. I can only imagine the things and excuses a probation officer hears day in and day out.
World class. Gotta be world class shit.
God almighty. Oh, I do not envy you at all, sir. Lord have mercy. when Ray could put a robot mower in the worst neighborhood in Hawaii without any theft for years, I'll say they're theft proof. Well, that's a good point. Busy Bees said, sounds like PoeCure is a good one for ACT to try in their MLSN studies as well. I do not understand what that means, but we'll go on to part two, which is here's what PoeCure is not. Nothing to do with minimum levels of sustainable nutrition or fertility, so I don't know. Here's one for y'all. Me and Ray talked earlier, but how many times have you second-guessed yourself knowing you know the label, you know how to spray it, but still question yourself on a job? I would say for me, if it's the first time I use that product in the year. So if it's my first time... My wife is an absolute... I've got slow cooked pork, and she brought me the Tabasco. This woman knows my heart.
Man.
I love you,
man,
baby. Man. Thank you. Man. Holy shit. At least someone out there loves me. Thank God.
Aww. I'm a Spencer psychopath.
I am what I eat. And that is for sure. I think that's why my
Spencer
wife loves me.
Spencer DoorDash for himself, by himself. I've seen. I've seen. Here come the calls.
But yeah, I mean, I second guess myself a lot, and I think that's good. You know, the more lackadaisical you become, or more complacent in what you do, you're more likely to make mistakes, right? You know, I'll give you an example, right? If I'm spraying my 12th 2.5 of three-way in the season, I'm not second guessing anything I'm doing. Well, but yeah. The first time I mix three-way for the year, my God, absolutely not. Ooh. I'm having a panic attack, even though I have sprayed probably 1,000 gallons of three-way across my career. I'm still nervous as hell the first time. I'm convinced that is the one time I'm going to kill all my yards. I'm going to kill every one of them.
Well, I got to give you mine. These days, when I get nervous is when I put together the Tenacity Syncor Sulfentrazone tank mix.
Sulfentrazone, I'll say this, always makes me queasy.
It should make people a little bit, you know, give them a little bit of pause, because even for people that are all dialed in, they know what they're doing. What I always hear from them is, wow, where I overlapped or where the wheels of my permagreen rolled, turf is looking a little crispy. You know, I've heard that before.
Oh, yeah.
It's looking a little crispy. And likewise, I know my first experience, or the first time I finally was able to get my hands on Dismiss turf mat, that's quickly when I found out how much I was overlapping my swats with my boom. I found out. Because anywhere where I overlap too much, that's exactly where I lift a stripe of crispy grass.
Done it. The wheel tracks I've left in yards for days. Well, actually mm-hmm. weeks. They remained in the lawn. Yeah, it's just part of it. Connecticut Cubanican, yeah, 100%. Actually, let's get you on the show, but I apologize in advance. I'm only going to talk about your career. I am just so interested. It's a thing. I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
By that.
Yeah.
And I really want
fascinated by
really want to talk
fascinating
about it.
by that whole thing. And you know, to go back to about second guessing yourself, I mean, I find that, going back to Busy Bee's point, I told him, if you don't nervously check a label and then check with people that have done this before, if you just go around assuming that everything's a-okay and that you know everything, that's when you're about to have your FAFO moment, and things can go extremely bad for you extremely quickly. You know, that's my experience, is that. And he had this like interesting little thing that he said to me too, where right? That's why you read labels when you're sitting in the bathroom.
It's amazing, right? The number of times you read a label the third, fourth, 34th time, and then you catch something that you didn't notice before. Like, I remember the first time reading the chemical mowing section of the Roundup label, and then mm-hmm. actually realized what I was reading, and I was like, holy shit, did anybody else know this? And I remember going to a Facebook group about it and being like, did you know? And of course no one knew, and thought I was completely making it up, and so I had to screenshot it from the label and share it. Mm-hmm. But again, it is worth the time to read labels, even if you know the product. Reread a 2,4-D label. Do you know how many people spray 2,4-D as a blanket application 4, 5, 6 times a year?
Oh boy. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Square miles of the United States are sprayed like that in lawn care.
Oh yeah.
I got another one for you. You know what they started putting on a lot of these product labels is they actually put down the definition of what is considered a spot spray application.
Yeah.
And you know, you go look real closely, it says no more than 1,000 square feet out of an entire acre. And true story, I remember talking with a golf course guy and him telling me about, oh yeah, I lined up my crew and they walked across the fairway spraying MSMA. And you know what my answer to him was, is I told him, yeah, at that rate you should have boom sprayed the damn thing and saved your guys. because that's no longer a spot spray.
Yeah. I love the effort applied to try and circumvent the label. It's like, guys, I got a plan. And it's real difficult because I'm sure someone was thinking to themselves, this is the stupidest fucking idea, but they couldn't say it, right? And they're like, oh, all right, George is on one again. I guess we're going to stand in a line and make our spot spray applications as a collective. I guess, is it like a union spot spray gig? How do you get that? I don't know. I need to check in with Driver on that.
It's more like a third world, slave labor crew, where you line people up, standing shoulder to shoulder, and they walk across an area, and essentially, if you figure it out right, guys, the only other place I see that is, those videos and documentaries where they're talking about, say, pesticide misuse in like India or Africa. That's where you see that image of people all lined up in a field, walking across the field shoulder to shoulder with backpack sprayers.
Man,
I think that's
You go first.
I was going to say this is the new business model for Cut and Kill, isn't it?
Probably.
Where were you going with Doc? Were you going to go back?
I was
going to
say, didn't he line up a bunch of people to spread seed instead of just using a spreader to spread seed?
Yes, thank you for dignifying them with people, because I'm not sure that he would use the same term.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, I'm saying thank you for dignifying them, but
yes, thank
you. Yeah, that was a weird one.
Ugh. Actually, that to me was just horrifying to say the least.
Oh man, that's got to be even better. Connecticut Cubana Canadian says he is not just a parole officer; he is a supervisor of 30 parole or probation officers. Let's go. That pre-show and after show could be real spicy.
He gets 30x the stories. Imagine that.
Yes.
You got
30 people at the job every day. They're like, do I want to fucking tell this guy about this or not? Like, do I want to tell my boss about this, or can this one slide? So he's getting everybody's best shot. You know?
Yes.
That's going to be some good stuff.
Brent said, what is your go-to excuse to leave a long-winded conversation with a customer on their front porch?
Ooh, that's easy. Hey, you know what, Mrs. Joan, I'm sorry. My butt plug just sucked up fast my sphincter. I need to get to the ER right now. She will never talk to you again. Or she'll be like, which model do you have?
No!
I've got the Pelvis Splitter 5000.
I got the one that hooks up to three-phase power.
I was out in lumberjack country one time and I couldn't find one, so I just grabbed this tree wedge and what golly.
You're not doing that, Brent. Brent. Do not do that, Brent. You tell them.
Try it, Brent. Just find
an appointment in 20 minutes, and I have to go
at the proctologist.
Michael Herring.
He's going to try a shot back first.
Michael Herring said, what time does everybody start their day with their rectal insert? What time does everyone start their day as an LCO? I want to get started early, but not interrupt the homeowner's routine, letting the dog out, et cetera. Michael, my advice is as early as you feel comfortable. In self-employed world, I was definitely on my first property by like 8. In commercial lawn care, I was typically on it by 7:30, 7:45, something like that. But I feel like
from the first lawn
till 11 a.m. is like I can get done 50% of my day. In that time, and then from there it slows down for whatever reason. And then after about 4 o'clock, it just grinds to a halt. I mean, just your efficiency, people want to talk, everything else. That's when you're dealing with everybody getting home from work and then letting their dog out, and just they're in a panic because they just got home and they got a million things to do or trying to get kids or whatever, and then you're stuck waiting there. And I just feel like nothing gets done after 4 o'clock efficiently at all. So normally what I would do is I would try and save like a commercial property for 5 o'clock. And so that way I could scoot over to that, throw in the headphones, not worry about anybody talking to me. But yeah, normally commercial properties for end of the day and then residential for early in the day. Telly said he found out how much he overlaps with Paclo and T-Nex. That is also an easy one to do. My goodness.
Like, real easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And boy, is it obvious.
Ooh.
You can find
It's really gray grass is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's
it's gray grass that hasn't grown in 2 months.
Lawn Radiant said, when am I supposed to pre-scalp?
Never.
Oh god.
Never.
You heard Never. It here. That is a complete and total made up. I think he understands that. I think he's asking actually, I think he's asking a joke.
He wanted to see if we were paying attention.
I know. I almost took it real serious. And then I was like, wait a second, that's Lawn Radiance. Cool your jets, Matt. Cool your jets. Lambert, what's going on, sir? How's everything down in, Soda, Alabama? He said, favorite warm season large patch fungicide. Anything new and effective? No.
When is the last time we talked, Lambert? Because I told you what my go-to for Zoysia is, right? It's kind of a weird one, but I find that it works.
Good. Share it, Ray.
I told Lambert to use Xteris.
Hmm.
Oh.
I told him to use Xteris. And the reason why I said Xteris is because I find that Xteris addresses the actual reason why the turf is susceptible to large patch and even Pythium in the first place. Because true story, I was at a seminar series back in, I think, 2016 or 2017, and I was listening to a very interesting subject, and that subject was nematodes in golf turf. And one of the points made by the Syngenta people was that when you have a nematode population in your turf, your grass gets that much more susceptible to the root-borne diseases. And so I paid attention, and immediately thereafter, of course, the next presenter was the people from Bayer, and this guy was talking about using the new fungicides, including Xteris, and I gotta tell you, since that time, I think my life dealing with Zoysia has become a lot less stressful. I mean, I'm not panicking out or freaking out from November through April or May like how I used to, because here's what I do. It's Xteris in, and then one more time before summer in April, and I don't deal with half of the issues that I used to deal with. You know, it's just I don't have as much drama on the Zoysia. If anything, the only time there's drama is if I happen to pick up a new customer, but then I haven't had to pick up, deal with that in a while because, Lambert, as you know, I'm retiring soon.
There it is. Hubanikin said, man, this is a tough one. I'm eligible to retire, so I actually interviewed to be a regional sales rep with True Green. I was too far from home, so I turned it down. Matt, should I steer clear of True Green if I want to work? All I can say is that let me tell you my experience with it. Especially coming from a G-man position, there is no higher pressure that you will experience working for a company than working for True Green, other than being self-employed. It is high pressure on a whole new level.
Why and how?
The sales quotas you have to hit are designed to be unobtainable. And that is the reward model is designed to be unobtainable. But what they will do is that if you get close, you'll find out that, oh, actually, you were number three in the country and you won a trip to Jamaica. And in the meantime, up until that point, you were, you know, ready to jump out of the car on the way home because you had to work another Saturday or whatever the case may be. There is when my sales manager at True Green overdosed and died, we'll put that in there. Three of the guys that I also worked with in the sales rooms, because during the winter, you know, spray techs that had a knack for selling would go to the sales room. Three of the guys I also sold with overdosed and died. It was unreal pressure. So anything and everything that people could do to gain a competitive advantage, they would do. And it wasn't a lot of like internal competition, right? Because you had your area that you went and sold in, or you would be shocked at how much time you spend on the phones and not in the field. You know, half the season you'll be in the field. Actually, I'll say less than half. I'll say 25% of the season you'll be in the field knocking doors. 70% of the time you're on the phone. And you may say, well, I'm a regional sales manager. I have a bunch of sales reps under me. You will be shocked at how much time you have to spend on the phone. It will blow your mind how much time you, a regional sales manager, spend on the phone. Again, it is, if you are looking for something that would be fun and exciting, I would not, this is me personally, at this point in my life, would I find that fun and exciting? It was fun for a season, and then after that, you dreaded it because it was so high pressure, intense. It was a boiler room like Wolf of Wall Street. You rang the bell when you made a sale. You're calling just people that have annual household incomes of $12,000, and you have to pitch them. And as the regional sales manager, you have to be there while they pitch them, and you have to critique their pitch. And there's nothing that is going to give you an opportunity to say, like, well, that's probably not a good one. Let's start over. You have to get your three no's. It is intense. So I would, if it were me, I would not do that. I would look for a small business to go to work for if you want to be in the industry, or a medium-sized business. However, I would avoid the mega conglomerates like True Green, where the pressure is just unfathomably high. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
How are you doing, Dan? Anyway, that's my take on it. I don't know, man. Boiler room sales rooms, I'm sure, are fun when you're closing, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 sales commissions in a year, but when you're trying to make, you know, $10 at a clip, and people breathing down your neck, and some guy goes and shoots coke in the bathroom and then comes back on the sales floor and is begging everyone to call 911 because he's dying. You start to question a lot about what you're doing, especially when you have to sit there and talk them off so you don't have to call 911 because there's so much drugs in the sales room. Everyone's scared of getting a felony. So it's a thing.
But that's why they send them to Jamaica, because you got to get off the plane and there's a tray of cocaine sitting there for you.
Brent said, do you wash your pesticide cover clothes separately from your family's laundry? I always did. Yes.
Absolutely, totally did.
If you can't get a uniform service, there's probably a small one around you that will do it for cheap. You don't have to go to like UniFirst or something like that. You know, if you want to get one for all your people, then by all means do like UniFirst. It's not as expensive as you think. The setup fee is expensive and they lock you in on a relatively long-term contract. But it's on a monthly fee is actually pretty cheap. It's very affordable. So anyway, I would definitely look at doing that, especially for you, Brent. The Lonsall said, why did my 2-year-old bottle of dismissed turf herbicide form a solidified mass at the bottom while sitting on the shelf? My cap was on tight. How do I keep my herbicides fresh? Hey, Ray, it is dismiss what? What are the letters after dismiss?
SC.
And SC stands for what?
Suspension concentrate. And you know, I'm going to go on a rant. By far, to me, in my 30 years of working on turf, do you know what the worst possible formulation I can think of that the manufacturers have come up with? You know, the worst thing they've ever come up with are all of these suspension concentrate products. I cannot stand them. I think they're garbage.
So,
they're trash.
The lawn sauce, because it is a suspension, the dismiss active ingredient sulfentrazone does not dissolve into the liquid. So that mass is where the suspension has settled. Effectively, it is still fresh. However, you're going to have to shake it quite violently to get it to resuspend. It does have suspension agents in there. If you cannot get it to, give it your absolute best by shaking it. And if you have like a sonicator, use a sonicator. That's a quick way to get things, but well, quick-ish. You may have to leave it on your sonicator for 24 hours, but it will produce a really, really nice suspension. Again, when you're dealing with anything that is a suspension, it will settle over time, period.
I got another one for you because I think I know what happened to our buddy Brad.
Because
I know exactly what happened to him.
B-Rad.
Given how Hawaii alternates between being 90-something degrees and being 70 degrees, what I think happened is that sulfentrazone recrystallized in the bottom of the bottle, and the only way to actually get it back into a suspension is that all of those large crystals have to be re-milled. I mean, I'm thinking, you got to send that stuff through a ball mill. Not a coffee grinder. A literal like ball mill with like ceramic BBs in it.
Mm-hmm.
To regrind that stuff back into the small particles. And you know, this is why. I'll tell you something. I totally miss those emulsifiable concentrate products. I miss them. And the reason why I miss them is because I never had to deal with product that had solidified into a mass in the bottom of the bottle. And if that did happen, that was my sign that the solvents had evaporated away because somebody didn't put the lid on tight and everything evaporated, right? But other than that, if the cap was tightly sealed, EC products would stay good for decades through alternating heat and cold as long as the bottle was kept tight.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever seen a solid mass in Dismiss, but I don't think I've ever had a bottle of Dismiss for 2 years either. So,
well,
kind of churned through it. All right, it is 10:30. We are going to hop off here. Jay Pink said, I have a Sonicare. Actually, I do too. We're going to head over to the after show. Everyone, thank you for tuning in on our first Wednesday. This is our first one, but we are going to be back on Wednesday. And do we have someone scheduled for next week? I can't remember.
I might be
smoking crack.
Maybe if Connecticut Ubonikin emails me, and we will.
Oh, yeah. Seriously.
Do what? Right, we'll talk about it later. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, seriously, email us at mail@thegrassfactor.tv because I know we like to talk about grass, but I'm more interested in your career. And we can at least share tidbits of our time in the industry. So by all means, we can certainly swap war stories in that vein. I promise our stories are not as cool as yours, but I think what you would learn is that there's a lot of fun to be had in this industry. That is for sure. All right, we're going to go hang out at the after show. If you do not know what the after show is, that's where we go hang out with our private community. Head on over to patreon.com/burnandreturn. It's like $4 a month for the base one, something like that. It's cheaper than an airport beer, that's for sure. It's cheaper than a bar beer most places. One thing I do want to caveat that is that, look, we talk like dudes. There's going to be bad words. Dudes. There's probably going to be some spicy content. You know, it is what it is. If you're not into that kind of thing, no harm, no foul. Don't worry about it. If you are into that kind of thing, if you do want to be part of a community of people that have one interest and interest alone, and the interest is to learn more, and it doesn't just have to be learning more about grass. It could be learning more about health. It could be learning more about soil. It could be learning more about herbicides, fungicides. It could be learning more about being a dad. It could be learning more about detailing cars. I mean, financial advice, investing, you name it. Shit, if you want to be a pilot, we've got one of those too. Lawyers, we've got lawyers falling out of our ear holes. Criminal defense lawyers, no problems. Federal defense lawyers, no problems. Property law, no problem. Corporate law, no problem. Lambert down there, another lawyer. So anyway, y'all check it out, patreon.com/burnandreturn. Otherwise, we will catch y'all on the flip side. But you win it, I'm not surprised at all. No way. Hey, what you need? Come on, just pay the fee. I supply it all. Went up the mountain and it wasn't hard to climb at all. At the top, I found some relief. You see? So